Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Please be advised that Gen X, This Is Why, contains adult language.
First, we have to take a pause because Edwards hears the siren song of the saloon.
Hi, and welcome to Gen X, This Is Why, the podcast where we re-examine the sometimes bizarre, often scarring media from our shared childhood. My name is Amy, and I'm a proud Gen Xer born in 1977.
And I'm her sister Jenny, born in 1974.
What up, Jen?
Not too much. What's going on?
Let's pretend we're not doing these back-to-back, and we haven't just recorded the dumpster fire that is Black Jake. And we're jumping into an even bigger dumpster fire here.
Yeah, this was bad. This was real, real bad. Like, literally nothing happens in this episode.
When does this get better?
I don't think it does.
You know,
didn't somebody say it did, or was it episode, or was it season 9?
Somebody said there's Mr. Edwards and an ape or an orangutan.
That's season 9. That's season 9.
And that's been on my horizon for quite a while.
That's the next season.
I need to get there, and I need an explanation. That's what I need. So we're going to jump right into it, guys, because we're a little short on time. So let's just start, Jenny, with a description for Little House on the Prairie, Season 8, Episode 8, Chicago.
Charles travels to Chicago to comfort a deeply grieving Mr. Edwards, whose son John Jr. has died in a tragic accident. But the grief soon gives way to rage when it becomes apparent that John's death was no accident.
I don't know what to, I'm speechless at this episode because there was so much you could have done here. I wanted to see Edwards go down a drunk spiral.
Yes.
I wanted to see, I don't know, some talk of John Jr. Like, it was just weird. It was really weird.
I wanted to see Mary finding out.
Yes. It was so weird. Well, literally nothing happened about seeing Mary.
Literally nothing happened in this episode. They walked around town, talked to people. Think about it. What else happened?
I think what happened is NBC was building a set for some other show. And Michael Landon's like, oh, I want in on that. Let me film there. Okay. And that's what happened.
Great.
Okay, Jen. We open on town gossip, Mrs. Foster bringing some mail over to Charles. It's from Mr. Edwards. And Charles is helping Nels with something. And he's like, Nels is like, oh, how's this boy doing? Charles is like, oh, he's doing great. He's going to graduate soon with that poetry degree. He'll be doing nothing. So then Charles' whole face changes when he starts reading the letter and he starts to cry and he tells Nels his boy has been killed in an accident.
Jesus.
And Pa's like, bye, gotta run. At the little house that night, Laura and, hey, everybody, I'm a fucking asshole, are nearby. And they're sitting there. Like, they literally just wheeled this fucker in to give him 2 seconds of FaceTime.
Well,
why
do
we need
sitting
him?
There. This scene was so weird because I guess somebody died. And they have that look on their, I get it.
Yeah,
like the lighting was weird. Like it just was so oddly filmed.
Well, and it's Last Supper style. They're both sitting on the same side of the table. So they're all in shock. And Pa says, it seems like just yesterday I used to take half pint and John Jr. fishing. Really?
It's like,
I don't remember
it's like,
that.
It's Last Supper style with a Caravaggio lighting. Like Landon swinging for the fences here.
I don't remember it that way. I remember John Jr. fucking over your other daughter.
Yeah, okay.
I don't remember them fishing. Charles is leaving for Chicago the next day. He's like, I gotta go. Isaiah wants me to come out there. Gotta do it. And he's like, I have so much work to do here. But Manly steps up and he's like, hey, everybody, I'll take your place. Whatever, dude, go home. So Charles says, by the way, Mom called me. She's like, I had no idea you hated Manly so much.
Oh, she was going off about that the other day. I had to listen to that for like an hour about how you hated Manly so much. And I'm like, Mom, I'm literally there. Like, why, you don't have to tell me this story.
So Manly's like, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. Then Charles is like, oh, that boy. I really love that boy. Jenny, he's rewriting history.
Yeah, I know. Totally.
Because he was like a dirty loser poet to Mr. Edwards. Mr. Edwards was like, I don't know this boy. I don't know how to relate to him. I love Carl's Jr. I want to blow things up in the barn. Remember? He wanted to disown John Jr. Yeah. for being a poet.
Yeah.
So, okay, whatever. Because Charles is like, oh, that boy was the whole world to Isaiah. Okay, whatever.
No talk of Carl's Jr.
Of course not.
I wanted to see Carl's Jr. finding out.
Are we ever going to see him again?
No. No.
When he's staring at the sex workers on the balcony and blowing shit up in the barn. We need him back.
Yeah.
All right, so train leaves next day. Charles is on it. We see day turn into night. Finally, he arrives in Chicago. Jen, it's pouring rain. Were you triggered?
Why would I be triggered?
Because you said every time you fly into JFK, it's raining.
Yeah, I have an index card.
Okay.
They make it seem like it's unusually rainy or like incredibly rainy in Chicago. And I'm like, I feel like that's not true. But I looked it up.
It is true.
Well, no, Chicago gets... So I found a great site called bestplaces.net. I know .net, I'm already judging them. I get it. But like,
yeah.
So I went down a rabbit hole, but let me tell you about Chicago first. Chicago, Illinois gets 38 inches of rain on average per year. And the U.S. average is... Take a guess.
I don't know.
38. So it's average.
Okay. I had a similar... feeling when I looked up Pennsylvania compared to Washington State, we get as many overcast days as they do.
Yeah. Well, sunny days in Chicago, they get at 189 per year on average.
Uh-huh.
The U.S. average is 205. Now you have places like the West, like California, yeah, driving that up, because that is not happening in the Northeast. There was, I have a list for you, Am, because I know you like lists.
I love lists.
The highest rainfall, or the most recent large rainfalls in Chicago. So they get like, since like 2010, they've had like a dozen rainfalls, like over 2 inches, which is a lot. They had 4.7 inches of rain. That's a lot. If that was snow, it would be like, what, yeah, 4 feet or 40 inches?
40 inches, yeah.
That was in 2010 in July. In August, they had a 4.5 in August 2014, but their largest was in 1996, July 17th. That was my 22nd birthday.
Mm-hmm.
5.72 inches. Birthday. Yeah, okay. 5.27 inches of rain. So that's a lot. So it's like, it's not like they get a ton of extra rain, but they seem to get very large rainfalls.
Mm.
So on this site, you type in a zip code and you get like information about an area, and it gives it a rating, like a comfort index. It tells you the unemployment rate, the population, the median income, the median home price. And then there's like reviews and you get stars. So Chicago, Illinois got 3 stars out of 5.
Okay.
What do you think the median income is?
For Chicago?
Yeah.
Maybe $200,000,
not $47,000.
Oh wow! Okay.
And the median home price is $291,000.
Oh wow!
Now I typed in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Oh boy!
4 stars.
One star.
Four.
Four.
Okay. Median income $37,000.
Okay.
Median home price $121,000.
That's better.
Brooklyn. What do you think the median income is?
How many stars?
5, of course.
Okay. The median income is $120,000.
$46,000.
Really? That's it?
The median home price.
$1 million.
$782,000. Something's wrong there. Something's wrong. You see the problem, right?
Yeah.
Sunnyvale, California, which is a place I visit a lot. So this is in Silicon Valley. One star. I love
one
it.
One star.
I love that I got one star. I love it. The median income there is $100,000. The median home price, $1.8 million.
How could Brooklyn have five stars?
Because it's amazing.
If their income disparity is that bad.
I mean,
it's amazing for a certain percent of people, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the way that probably shakes out when you're talking about median is like there's an area of Brooklyn like along the water where like all the home prices are insane. So that's going to drive up the median, right?
Right.
Where like the majority of it is going to be less. Is it an expensive place to live? Yes. Is everybody paying $700,000? No.
Okay. Are you done with your index card?
Done.
Okay.
But that's so a cool site. Go like type some stuff in there. Look at stuff.
So basically you just want us to know that Chicago is expensive, but not...
No, Chicago's not oddly rain, like not overly rainy like they're trying to make it out to be.
Oh, okay. So Edwards picks him up and they hug and Charles doesn't even know what to say. And Edwards gets them a hotel room just a few blocks away. Jenny, where is Edwards living at this point?
I don't know. Out west somewhere? California, I think.
Okay, he's not in Chicago though.
No, John Jr. was in Chicago.
Okay. Edwards gets them a hotel room. It has two beds in it, because of course I was wondering that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they get there, and Edwards immediately starts drinking, and he offers Charles something, and Charles and Edwards is like, it's been so long, I forgot. Teetotaling. Remember, yep. We talked about the teetotalers.
Yep.
So Edwards starts reciting the letter that informed him about the accident. John Jr. was killed in a street accident. And this letter is written by T. Callahan, the letter's author, who also looks a lot like the dad from Tommy Boy, whose name was also Callahan.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is a man from the paper where John worked after school.
I think he's the editor-in-chief, right?
Yes. Edwards is like, we need to go see this T. Callahan in the morning, make arrangements to bring my boy's body home. He starts sobbing, heavy rain outside the window pane, you know. The next day, Charles and Edwards are walking the paper and almost get killed in the street.
Yeah, he's just walking right out into the street, not even looking.
Mm-hmm. They meet with Callahan, and he is this bigger-than-life Irish dude who's like bossing people around at the paper. Like, copy boy, fuck you. Secretary, bring me a coffee. Like, you know, right. Just a typical. Okay.
Then he's like, let's go to the saloon at noon.
So they go over there. He orders three whiskeys. And Edwards is like, my lame old friend here doesn't drink.
Doesn't partake.
So, yeah. So Callahan gives Edwards two and he takes one. Bartender's like, you're a little bit early. You're an hour early today. So Callahan says, Johnny was great. He was clean and hardworking and had good instincts. And
he had good newspaper and instincts. Which feels to me like you're newspapering a window.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then he says something weird like, that basically implied, I have it summed up here, like, he was a poet, so I couldn't really use his stuff, but it was nice to read.
He wrote beautiful things, but, like, it wasn't news, or it didn't mean anything. I think it's basically what he was saying.
That's exactly what he was saying. So he's like, but he was, you know, he was a hard worker, so in 6 months, he was probably going to have his own byline. And that's the thing you want when you're a newspaper.
Okay.
So we find out that the accident happened at night in the rain near a bar. Now I have a lot of questions around this, but let's just get through it. Apparently John Jr. was in the street and was hit by the drunk driver of a horse and carriage. Jenny, question.
No. They never said it was a drunk driver.
Well, they imply it because he's a dude who drinks more than he delivers. I mean,
as long as the horse isn't drunk.
That's my question. The horse wasn't drunk?
Yeah. The horse is like, doesn't matter how drunk you are. Like, this is why, like, maybe we need to go back to horse and buggies. Like yes. The self-driving car is really the modern day horse and buggy, right? Where you're just putting somebody else in charge of not being drunk. And that's a robot versus a horse. But same idea.
I trust the horse more.
Mm.
So,
you know.
He says he was hit by a drunk driver. Like, basically, he said the guy was at the bar. It was in the bar district. And the guy is like...
Yeah, but the guy was a delivery guy for the...
Right, but Edward says, sounds like he drinks more than he delivers. Or takes
I don't
more
know why they have that information. I don't know why they... How they would even have that information. Now, the guy was working.
He gives Edwards the name of the guy. That's a big mistake.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
He also tells Edwards that Johnny was staying at a boarding house and gives Edwards what Johnny had on him at the time. Now, they leave the bar, and I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a gigantic cheese plate there.
Oh, no.
At the bar.
Was cheese plates a thing then?
Apparently, but it was very crude, okay? So it looked like loaves of Italian bread just chopped up.
Okay.
And then there were bricks of cheese.
Wow, amazing. So but is that a cheese like, plate or is that just cheese and bread?
I don't know. I'll take it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So at the mortician's, we learn that the bill for Johnny's arrangements has been paid in full. And the mortician tells the guys, Callahan's like the nicest guy ever. Everybody loves him. And I'm immediately like, he totally murdered Johnny.
Suspicious.
Yeah. So at Baxter's boarding house, she knows Edwards immediately because John Jr. talked about him so much. And Charles is like, I'm Charles Ingalls. And he's like, she goes, oh, he spoke about you and Mary. And I just wrote, did he tell you how dirty he did Mary? Was that part of the conversation?
He probably didn't tell her that.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Baxter insists on making tea for the men, even though they want to get the fuck over to that bar to beat the shit out of this driver, which is clearly coming. Now we're in Johnny's room and Edwards breaks down over Johnny's typewriter. Been there, dude. Been there.
Did you catch the weirdo drawing of Johnny on the mantle?
Yeah, because don't boarding house operators always have pictures of their boarders?
I don't know.
In beautiful frames on their furniture?
I don't know.
That'd be like Maybe. You're running a hostel or an Airbnb and you have pictures of your guests. It's weird.
Okay.
So they head over to the bar. Like, they're done. And the dude admits he did it. They're like, hey, this is the driver. Did you run over my boy? And dude's like, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
Well, but he's like, I mean, I thought this was the only redeemable dialogue in the whole show. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I've been torn up about it. I don't sleep about it. Like, it was an accident. Like, I'm not that person.
Yeah, he was really upset. He even says, okay, so he says it was dark, it was rainy. He's like, I even carried him to Mercy Hospital myself.
Yeah.
And if prayers could bring him back, he'd be here.
And then the murderer invites him to dinner.
He invites him to dinner, Jen, to show him he's not the kind of man who runs down young folks.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I told you about that time I was hitchhiking and the guy's like, I'll bring my daughter along so you know I'm not going to rape and murder you.
No.
So Charles and Edwards they're just full blown. This is an episode of Law and Order.
Yeah. Full blown. But first we have to take a pause because Edwards hears the siren song of the saloon.
Okay, I have. They're walking the path at night in the rain, recreating the scene. Just then a saloon door opens and beckons to Edwards. Edwards is drawn like a moth to a flame inside that saloon.
To be fair to Edwards, dude deserves to drink right now.
Yeah.
Have some fucking whiskey.
But you have Judging Charles.
Constantly
judging Charles. Looking over you. We need an action figure that is just judging Charles. So, all right, he's in the saloon, and as he's in the saloon, Charles takes refuge from the rain in the little doorway of a pawn shop. Edwards comes out of the saloon, knows immediately to go to the pawn shop. We don't know how, but
we don't know how.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're in there, and they spot John Jr.'s watch in the shop, and Edwards flies into a rage.
Goes bananas.
He goes to Banana Town. He wakes this dude up. He's like, who fucking sold this to you? Dude pulls a shotgun on them. They don't care.
This was a dumb conversation.
It was real dumb. All right. So they go to Callahan. They're like, you got to help us here. So they go back to the pawn shop with Callahan in tow. And they find some books. And Jen, the books have been cooked. They're not reliable. You can't. No.
No.
But they see this name, B. Jones, over and over and over again. And the owner says, he's a black kid. It's all I know. And I just wrote, Oh, fuck. Here we go. Callahan's like, leave this to me. I know this town. I'll take care of it.
I don't trust this dude.
So the next day, Charles and Edwards find out Callahan's been beaten again. He's in the hospital clinging to life. Good job. He did a great job getting out.
Yeah, good job, dude.
He's unconscious when they get there. But they check his clothes and there's a note that has BJ's address, but it just says BJ and an address. And I wrote, oh my God, was he getting a BJ?
Oh my God. Maybe don't follow up on that.
Now they head over to the address and we have a throwaway scene here with B. Jones' grandmother.
Well, there's like some racist stereotyping. And then Charles lies.
Charles lies?
Yeah. He says, we want to talk to him about a job.
Oh, that's true. He does kind of lie. Lies. Well, I think you can make that
Eyes
fit.
Liar.
So BJ, she's like, BJ works so hard, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line, BJ is at some construction site, Drummond Construction.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Charles is like, all right, we're going there. So they find the site. They see BJ. This is so, it's even horrible to recap.
Yeah. They see a black person and they like assume it's him. That must be him. White people.
So bottom line, guys, I'm just going to summarize this because it's so bad. They find this BJ. It's a little kid. He's like an Albert.
He's like six. Oh, he's six. Yes. He's like Albert.
Yes. He's like, you know, a kid who's running around, like just owning the streets and fooling everyone.
This is the Chicago version of Albert.
Yes. So basically, BJ tells them, like, John Jr. was dead in an alley.
First of all, can we discuss that BJ starts to run from these men, which is the correct thing to do. And then they hunt him down and grab him. Like, they fucking kidnap him, basically.
Yeah. Well, he runs because Edwards looks at him and is like, hey, you!
Oh, I know. And, like, this kid's doing all kinds of shady shit. So he's, like, immediately, like, I gotta lock this down.
So Charles threatens to tell his grandmother, and BJ cracks immediately. And he's like, look, I got all this shit off this dead kid in an alley.
He's not afraid of the police, but he's afraid of his grandmother.
Accurate. So they drag this kid to Callahan, and he recites the story to Callahan. Like, He was in an alley. There's no way. That alley is too narrow for wagons. There's no way that somebody hit him. So Callahan, injured, barely conscious, gets out of bed, and he's going to solve this shit, Jem, but not until he propositions a young nurse.
Right.
Yeah. Got to get that in there.
Well, and they're like, he's like, they killed him for the story he was writing. That, I knew it was suspicious when there was no notes on him, because that boy was a demon for notes.
Jenny, you're a demon for notes.
No. Oh my God.
How so lame. They head into the paper, and Callahan starts firing off orders. And he also hires BJ. He's like, I'm going to make an honest man out of you. I'm going to hire you for $5 a week. Callahan says he realizes what's going on now. This involves Alderman Hendricks and a bidding of contracts with Drummond Construction. And he tells the guys, I gave Johnny an assignment. It was a simple human interest story about O'Brien Street. But he must have gotten on to something more. You think? So the three men set out to uncover this corruption with low bid contracts. And I just wrote, this is real dumb.
Well, there was some kind of research montage.
So lame. Now they confront Drummond in some shady alley. There's literally a cat going like, meow!
Wow.
On the side.
That's a little on the nose.
Callahan and Drummond are doing real thick Irish accents. And Edward's like standing there growling. And like,
It's ridiculous.
Drummond is like, Callahan, I don't have to explain myself to you. Like, he's going to break out in some kind of leprechaun talk. So now, Jenny, they pull this sweet little kid forward and they make him identify this dude as the one he saw near John Jr.'s body.
He's like some like crime boss, and they're making this kid like point him out.
Yeah. So the dude, the bad dude, starts to run off. Once they do, Charles and Isaiah take off after him, and Callahan looks at little BJ and goes, you did well, son, because he's like, I didn't see a ring, mister, and he's like, you did fine. I really think he's behind all this.
I don't know. He was just trying to, like...
I don't know. So,
basically... I don't know what his motivation would be, though. Like, what would be his motive?
I have no idea, but I don't doubt that he's in on this grift.
I mean, he's definitely the puppet master of everything.
So now the dude is running. He falls into an open ditch and breaks his neck.
Breaks his neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Random ending.
Yep. At the train station, the next day, later, I don't know. Edward says goodbye to Callahan, thanks him for his help. He hands Edwards the front page of the paper when John Jr. has the byline. Reporting the story of corruption. I just wrote, what the fuck did I just watch?
Nothing happened.
It's over, guys. That's it.
Like one of the main characters died, and yet Landon still found a way to make nothing happen in this episode.
Yeah, nothing happened. Nothing. Like, Edwards was more upset over his being unable to use his legs in that one scene.
Yeah.
One episode. Yep. Than he was over his kid dying. Where's this Grace? Where's Grace?
We don't even see Grace.
Nope.
Yep. No Carl's Jr., no Grace. At least talk about them. He does mention Grace at one point at the end.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, what was Michael Landon's moral message here?
Don't drink.
Don't drink.
Because there was it was implied that this all happened because of alcohol.
Yeah.
The shipping of alcohol, the drinking of alcohol.
Saloons. And stay out of those big cities.
That too. Yep.
All right, Jenny. So whose fault is this?
This is...
I'm just blaming Michael Landon. Michael Landon's fault. Yeah.
I was going to say it's T. Callahan's fault for sending him on the story. But...
Maybe. It could be John Jr.'s fault for being such a kiss-ass.
Yeah, true.
Stay in your room and write poetry. Stop trying to make it into a viable career.
Yeah, stop it.
All right.
It's John Jr.'s fault for being a writer.
At the end of every episode, we look back on a theme or a lesson, something we take from the rewrite. We call it our why. It's designed to finish the sentence. Gen X, this is why. What is your why for this episode?
This is why you have to make sure your house is in order before you go on a trip. This is like, this is my worst nightmare. Like when they're walking to his house and like they're looking at stuff like that, I'm just gonna like die somewhere. And then like people are gonna be walking through my house and looking at my stuff. Like, yep. This is my worst fucking nightmare, literally.
I'm going to open your house up to the public. Shall I outlive you? And just have people walk around and touch things.
But like, I always think about that when I go on a trip. And it's funny because like, that you usually don't die on a trip, right? It's like he was walking down the street in his hometown. Yeah. Like that's when it happens. But like that, like if someone, I literally think about this. I'm like, if someone has to come in here and I'm dead, what are they going to see?
The fuck do you have in there? Jesus Christ. Are we going to find bodies?
No.
All right. Jenny, I have, this is why we thought, hey, no big deal. Just take down the mob if they're bothering you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They roped this poor innocent kid into like taking down the mob.
Yeah. And like, he probably didn't even understand the implications of that being a small town boy.
Right. Like, you don't fuck with Chicago corrupt, grifting businessmen.
Right.
Jesus. Especially with construction workers. They have the means to get rid of you forever.
Yeah. They have concrete.
Jesus Christ.
They have lots of like wet concrete around.
Yes, they do. All right, Jenny, why don't you tell everyone what's coming up next?
So I hope the next thing we watch has a plot. That would be great.
That would be good.
Are we doing For the Love of Nancy?
Yep.
So it's season 8, episode 9, For the Love of Nancy. A young, overweight boy named Elmer Miles is mercilessly teased at school. However, Nancy, of all people, goes easy on him because she actually seems to like him. Of course, she has plenty of ulterior motives up her sleeve once she gains Elmer's trust. I remember this one.
Yeah, he's a fat kid. Get ready for the fat shaming.
Wow, okay.
I'm gonna go berserk in this episode.
Can't wait. Banana Town episode coming up.
Banana Town. Woo, woo, woo.
Is that the sound effect for Banana Town?
Yeah. All right, guys. If you haven't already, check out our Patreon. For $5 a month, you have access to all our back episodes. We do 2 a month. One's a blockbuster, one's something else. And it helps support the show, keep the lights on, and pay for all the shit we have to pay for. So we greatly appreciate it. Link is in the show notes. Also, check out our Facebook group, Meet Me Bees. We're pretty, we have a lot of fun in there. Like, how do you eat your cottage cheese was quite
threat. That was a riveting threat.
Yes. Yeah. So thanks so much for listening and we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.